Welcome back to the Changing the Narrative podcast, guys. I'm your co-host, Dr. Gabriel Warren, along with Carl Benson. And today we have a very special guest, Dr. Brandon Spradley. And we'll let you tell a little bit more about yourself, Brandon. But before we do that, thanks for being a part of the show. I'm always excited to have discussions with new men who are making impacts in their communities. So welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for inviting me.
All right, so we always like to start the show by just kind of giving the listeners an opportunity to learn a little bit more about our guests. So can you start by just sharing with the listeners kind of who you are, what you do, maybe a little bit about your background?
Well, my name is Brandon Spradley. If you want to say Dr. Brandon Spradley, I'm fine with this. So I'm in Mobile, Alabama currently. That's where I grew up. I'm a former track and field athlete, and so I've been running track ever since I was the age of 5 or 6, and was fortunate enough to get a scholarship at the University of Alabama. Ran there for 4 years, and after graduation, man, I found a great opportunity at a university that a lot of people don't know about. It's in Daphne, Alabama, called the United States Sports Academy, and so we're a university that focuses specifically on sport education. And I've been there for about 12 years now. Started off as a doctoral teaching assistant in our doctoral program, working there part-time. And now I'm currently the dean of the Cronin Summit School of Sport Business. And I've been doing that for almost a year now. And so it's a lot of challenges. It's definitely some new experiences, but I'm along for the journey. And man, it's been great so far.
Awesome.
Right on. Can you sort of just I'm getting to know you like most of the other listeners will be as well, but can you give us a little bit of a just a synopsis of how you what motivates you, like what sort of gets you up in the morning, what keeps you going, just as you get through the grind of every day?
Well, one of the things that I left out is that I'm a pastor as well, at a church in Saraland, Alabama, New Life Restoration Church. And so I have a strong relationship with God. That's always been my source of motivation. Just really making that connection and finding my source of strength and peace in Him. And so every day I wake up, man, I try to say a prayer, just showing gratitude and appreciation for everything that He's done for me, and kind of wake up and get started on the day, trying to follow His will, understanding what He wants me to do. But also a big part of my motivation is my wife and kids. I'm married to my lovely wife of a little more than 10 years now, or almost 10 years, Camilla Spradley. And then we have two children, Gabrielle and Layla, and they're my source as well, man. And so always thinking about them and seeing how I could be a positive role model as a husband, as a father, and really just as a man of God. So I would say between God and my family, man, those are the two
Right.
things that really keep me going.
Right on. I appreciate you.
That's good. So I imagine, being, one, being an administrator at a college, but then also being a pastor, that there are probably lots of ways that you give back to your community. So could you kind of share with us a little bit about like what are some of those things? What are the things you're most passionate about that kind of leads itself into kind of you giving back and serving and helping out in your community?
I think one of the things that I'm really passionate about, especially within our church, we have what is called a care ministry. And a couple of years ago, it was really impacted by COVID, because we would go to people's houses who were sick and shut in. We would go to the nursing homes. And it more so affected elderly people and the sick and shut in. And man, we would just try to brighten up their day any way we could. So whether that was singing, praying, giving them a word of encouragement. And we would always have some type of gift for them. And so we've been doing that for a number of years, and I really saw the power of God working through us in that. But as I said, it kind of was affected by COVID a little bit. And so over the last year or so, we've kind of got it back up running. And so that's really been a passion of mine, just doing stuff outside of the four walls of the church, making sure that we're making an impact and advancing the kingdom of God that way. But in terms of professionally, my dissertation focused on concussion awareness and education. And even though I wasn't a great football player, I stuck the track. But concussions has been affecting even young student athletes for quite some time, and we're just kind of getting to a point of being educated about the signs and symptoms. And so I decided to focus my dissertation on educating coaches and student athletes. And so for the last several years, I had an opportunity to develop or help develop a concussion awareness program. We partnered with some colleagues from the University of South Alabama, and we were able to go into the Mobile Public High Schools and educate the coaches, educate the student athletes. And we kind of did a little bit of research along with it, and we did find that our education program increased their knowledge and their overall attitudes about concussion. And so I've been passionate about that, even though it's a little bit of outside of my scope in terms of my department, because mostly I focus on like sport management and the business side of the sport industry. But that's always been a passion of mine, and hopefully I can get back to it in the years to come.
Gotcha. Is the sports academy, is that a 4-year school or 2-year, or what's the setup? And I'm just curious about that. I'm really interested. I always look for opportunities for young people to jump into some things. I was just curious about that. It was not on my list. I apologize.
Now that's actually a really good question, because we were just an upper division program. And so within the past couple of years, I think last 2, 3 years, we got accredited to be a 4-year program. So right now we are a 4-year program at the undergraduate level. And then we do have master's and doctoral programs as well. And again, we focus as of now only on sport education. And so that's sport management, sport coaching, exercise science, strength and conditioning, sport studies, and then our doctoral program, which I was able to do a little over 10 years ago. It specifically focuses on sport management. And so, again, a lot of people don't know that we are an accredited university. We have accreditation through regional accreditation through SAC COC, and then we have programmatic accreditation with ACBSP with our sport management programs. And so we're in the process of kind of marketing ourselves. We've been known as an art museum. Again, it's in Daphne, Alabama. So we have the largest collection of sport art in the world. And a lot of people come to our building just to look at the art, because there's a big connection just with sport and art. But we want also people to know that we are an accredited university, and we have degrees. And a lot of coaches at the college and professional level have been through our program. So.
Right on. So I apologize. Thank you for answering that question. But that was just a personal interest question that I wanted to ask. But I did have a, as we look at society as a whole, I'm going to throw you a little harder question now. We look at a lot of misconceptions that folks have on Black men in general, specifically, whatever that looks like. Could you tell us a little bit about how you see that? What are some misconceptions that maybe you see in your either work life or the life of the church, whatever that looks like, and then sort of maybe something you would do to help eradicate that from society as a whole. It's a little harder question, but I know that you can handle
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I know that, some of the narratives have been Black men are lazy, but it was an interesting conversation when I was in a doctoral program. The dean at that time, his name, and I feel comfortable saying his name was Dr. Mike Magnoli. And this is a older white gentleman. He's passed away over the last couple of years, but he had a conversation with me and another Black student at the time. And basically, he said, because you are a Black man, unfortunately, you might have to work 2 to 3 times harder than everybody else. And I appreciated that honesty, because again, this is a white man who has had a lot of different experiences. He was a former president at a university, and he dismissed everybody. He kept me and the other guy back there, and he said that. And so I've always kind of taken that attitude and that mindset that I'm going to work hard. Even in the face of adversity, I'm going to try to be resilient. I'm going to try to make sure that I do the best that I can to represent not only myself and my family, but represent just as a Black man, because unfortunately, there are just so many stereotypes that are out there. And so, if we can, through our work, dispel some of those stereotypes and make sure that the perception of a Black man is solid with a foundation of truth, honesty, transparency, resilience. That's how I take the day in my profession as well as in my church life. And so I just appreciated somebody being honest with me and based off their experiences, letting me know. And I've always taken that attitude.
Right on. All right.
That's good, man. And It kind of sets us up really good for our next question because, I know nobody gets to a certain level of success without having mentors, right? So it kind of sounds like this gentleman you just mentioned is one, but can you think about anybody else, as far as people who've mentored you along your journey, whether that was in sports, whether that was where you are now, whether that's pastoring, all of that. How important is that to you? And then think about it both from being a mentor, but then also being a mentee.
Yeah, mentorship is absolutely critical if you're going to get anywhere in life. And so I got to start off with my dad, really both of my parents, my mom and my dad, but especially my dad because he is a strong black man. And so he was an educator for 20 years and he was a track and field coach. And a lot of people saw my dad. My dad was tough, my dad was hard, but he was what I would say a manly man. And so he was not just my father, but he was just a father figure to a lot of students and athletes just over the years. And so I've always looked up to him and I've always seen just him take a level of responsibility and accountability. And that's really fallen to me as well. It's interesting because now I'm his pastor. And so that's an interesting dynamic, but I've always looked at him as a mentor. I actually have another mentor that's a pastor, and I'll give him a shout out. His name is Reverend Billy King, and I asked him to be my mentor because I just felt God was really weighing on my spirit. He was like, "You need a mentor in this season." And so, literally right after God told me that, I called him up and I was like, "Will you be my mentor?" And I think that that's so important for young men to actually take the initiative and ask somebody who has some level of experience to be their mentor, especially if you want to have success in any profession that you're looking at, whether it's education, whether it's ministry, the community, whatever you're doing, even being an athlete, always finding a mentor. And now, so I'm 35 right now, so I'm at the point where I see the need of having a mentor, but I'm also at the age where I can share a little bit of advice and wisdom as well. And so I've had a number of young men in their 20s and even some teenagers asked me to serve as their mentor. And so the biggest thing is time. But if I say yes, that means I'm committing to making sure that I'm available for them, whether that's through text message, through call, meeting them in person and praying for them. And so mentorship is absolutely critical because if I can save somebody from making the same mistakes that I've made over the years, and that saves them some time and some energy, that is absolutely wonderful for them in their journey. So, yeah, that's a great
Very
question.
cool. Very cool. Very cool. You mentioned it briefly, but you talked a little bit about success and possibly how mentorship can help toward success. How do you define success when you know that a lot of young kids these days, it's all about money or followers or likes is success, but how do you see it and how do you define success in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question. For me, it really comes back to my relationship with God. And so if I'm fulfilling my purpose and my reason for being here, which can be tough, I'm not going to sit here and over spiritualize it and act like I know everything that I'm doing and I know the direction that I'm going. But if I can have some level of responsibility and purpose for why I'm here, and I can take that every day, that's really how I define success. Understanding the will of God and actually going about doing it. Now, I do encourage young men to, based on their profession, hey, pursue an education if that's what you want to do, whether it's a trade, continue to learn, continue to grow, continue to mature, and be the person that God is telling you to be. And, if you're making money in the process, that's great as well. And so, we always try to kind of focus so much on the financial piece, which is critical, but I like to look at it from a holistic standpoint and saying, hey, are you growing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, practically, financially? And if you're doing all of those things, I think you're headed in the right direction. And so that's how I kind of define success as a holistic approach and making sure that you're fulfilling God's purpose over your life.
Amen. Appreciate
That's really
that.
good, man. So just thinking about some of the things you've been sharing with us so far, I mean, You check a lot of boxes when we think about changing the narrative. You know, you know, of course, you came from a two-parent home. You know, you went to college, student athlete. You transitioned into, you know, great professional career. You know, you're pastoring, husband, father. So I'm curious, could you share with us and our listeners from your perspective, you know, what should the narrative be about what it means to be a Black man in today's culture? Because I think that question is what we're really trying to, you know, communicate to our listeners. So do you mind kind of weighing in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being a Black man, it's not easy, number one. And you know, I don't want to give a perception that it is easy. We're going to make mistakes. You know, we're going to fall sometimes, and you know, it's always just those situations where we're looking for direction and guidance. But at the end of the day, I feel like as a Black man, we want to do what's best for our families and our communities. At the end of the day, we want to represent society in general from a Black man standpoint. And just looking at it just for how you know God has really brought me to the point where I'm at, it's really understanding that, man, God's grace has got me to this point. And so if I can always look at it from that standpoint, I feel like I can move forward and I can feel like I can do what God is telling me to do. And so, always taking a level of responsibility, taking accountability for your actions and decisions, and understanding that, and Gabe, you mentioned this, that mentorship is absolutely critical from a Black man standpoint. I'm not saying you can't have another race mentor you because I think that's important as well, but I can look back over my life and I can name a number of Black men. And I believe one of the people that y'all have already had on your podcast, Carl Floyd, I call him Ant. And, you know, I know that if I'm not mistaken, that's your cousin, Gabe. And he served as a big mentor in my life. And I actually got a chance to see him on yesterday. And so seeing Black men be successful is really the narrative that we want to share, not just within the Black race, but in all races, knowing that, hey, we're out here, we're taking care of our families. We want to shed a positive light on our communities and do what is right in the eyes of God. So.
Right on. I know that, and I'm not, you know, if you want followers and all those type of things, we can certainly, you know, put all your information in the chat. But how would you, I guess, you know, as we begin to wrap up a little bit, but how do you look at, how do you want people to follow your journey, or are you doing anything right now that you want to make sure that people know about that we can obviously promote not only through the podcast but through conversations right now and. You know, if it's social media, or if it's maybe the academy itself or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably most active on Facebook. You could just look me up and type my name, Brandon Spradley. I'm also on the professional level on LinkedIn as well, Dr. Brandon Spradley. Every once in a while, I'll dabble in Instagram, and that's at Dr. Brandon Spradley. And so I'm trying to be more active because I understand the power of social media and really just sharing a positive message, whether that's more of a spiritual encouragement or just sharing my journey. I will say one of the recent accomplishments that I've shared on social media was that I was named for the 40 under 40 2004 class for Mobile Bay, which I'm not real big on accomplishments and sharing my accomplishments, but I'm not going to sit here and lie. That was something that I was very appreciative of. And so I thought that was worth sharing on my social media pages. You can, if you want to learn more about the United States Sports Academy, you can visit our website at ussa.edu. We're doing a number of new and exciting things. We've always had a international presence, but we're trying to establish more of a domestic presence now. And we're starting sports teams, which is exciting as well. Interestingly, in the history of the institution, 50 plus years, we've always did sport education, but we've never had sport teams.
Wow.
As you know, and that's I could go deep into that, and that'll take a little bit of time to do. We started with a men's soccer team, and then next fall, we're starting five more sports, and one of those sports is track and field. And so hopefully I can help the track and field coach out with a little bit of my knowledge and expertise. And so again, that is ussa.edu if somebody wants to personally email me on my work email. That's bspradley@ussa.edu.
Awesome, man. Well, I mean, I knew this was going to be a very impactful conversation, man. And you know, that's one of the joys of trying to do this podcast and trying to really, you know, change the narrative is that we get to talk to so many different men who are making so many different impacts. You know, like the thing that I think is unique is, you know, we've been interviewing people now for a couple of weeks, and you know, it's amazing how many different boxes black men check. You know, it's not just one thing. It's like we're husbands, we're fathers, we're business owners, we're higher ed administrators, we're pastors, we're doing all of these things. And you know, it just kind of excites me to know that, you know, there are individuals out here around the country that are really doing these things. So, man, definitely congratulations for being in the top 40 under 40. That's a huge accomplishment. I'm sure they value that, and we do too, man. So we appreciate you for taking time out and sharing with us a little bit about your perspective on this subject. And you know, we're looking forward to all the things you're going to do in the future, man. So thanks for being a part of the podcast.
I appreciate it. And thank you, Gabe. Thank you, Carl, for inviting me. I had a wonderful time. And y'all keep up the great work. This podcast is absolutely necessary to change the narratives. And so I just appreciate the opportunity of getting a chance to chat it up with you guys.
And I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.